south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, you know, one of the very hot topics at my Expat Insider seminar just a week or so ago was the question of how to get your money, ass, and assets out of the U.S. down to a Latin American country. Well, let's not talk about your ass, because you'll have to deal with that yourself. You know, TSA, latex, kit, gloves, and all that. Man, I'm so glad I don't live there anymore. Anyway, people were asking all the time, how do you get your money and your assets down? That is, without raising a lot of red flags with the U.S. government and its agencies and getting out a bunch of lists. Hey, don't you know? You're on a ton of lists already. But as far as getting your money out safely, well, that can be accomplished, of course. It's done all the time, but restrictions are being piled on every day, it seems. Still, there are options while they last. All right, so we'll talk about that. And then there were some people who pulled me aside and said, Johnny, you know, how can I get my assets and my money out of the U.S. to a Latin country anonymously, or kind of anonymously? If there is such a thing as kind of anonymously. I guess that's like someone saying, I'm kind of hungry. So what is it? You hungry or not? Anonymous movement of your assets out of the first world down to a Latin country. Well, that all depends what your assets might be. If, for example, shipping down household items, that's an asset, right? You'll be shipping a container maybe or a lot of boxes. So far, no restrictions on that stuff, unless, of course, you're shipping down guns or explosives. That's not going to go. Though, if you own guns personally, you can ship them down to most Latin countries, except, get this, Mexico. A few others too. Isn't that funny? The more the gun restrictions, the more crime and disorder, huh? Seems like in Mexico, everyone's got guns but the good guys. Yep, that's how it works when you've got strict gun control. I know. I'm from Illinois. Chicago's got the strictest gun control laws in the country. Duh. So I repeat, I'm so glad I don't live up there anymore. Anyway, as mentioned, you can ship your personal guns to most Latin American countries. Got to do that through your lawyer, of course. But then again, I know people who have tried, and it's a whole hell of a lot of mess at the aduana. That would be customs, though you'll get them eventually. It'll cost you about the value of your guns to get them down. So my advice, buy your guns down here. You'll pay twice the price, too, because that's how they gouge you with nearly 100% taxes. But you can still buy them. So what's the point of shipping them down when you're going to pay for your gun again in aduana and tax fees? So my advice again, unless you have a very special gun, you know, one that was used by Wyatt Earp or your grandpa gave you a 12-gauge shotgun when you were 9, the one that he got from his grandpa, who got it from his grandpa, who shot a redcoat or two in the Revolutionary War, well, then if it's a personal keepsake item, ship it down. But just remember, it's going to get stuck in customs for a while. There'll be a lot of paperwork, and you're going to pay what the gun's worth in taxes. However, as for antiques, since there's not much of an antique market down here in Latin America at all, although there are lots of antiques, they're not valued as such. If you want to bring some antique keepsakes down, no one will be checking the blue book on it. It'll probably just slip through as old furniture or old guns. And again, I repeat, never try to do it yourself. You'll need a lawyer, and he'll hook you up with a customs broker to do that. Bottom line, in the instances that I know of where people tried to ship down their load of personal guns, there always been some headaches and some hair pulling, but they got through. Again, if you're going to have guns and you got the right, buy them down here. And of course, every Latin country, even the ones where guns are heavily restricted like Mexico, they have gun clubs and shooting ranges and galleries.
Where you can practice and hang with like-minded cowboys, pilgrim.
Matter of fact, not so long ago, I put together a 10-page report called Guns, Ammo, Knives, and Machetes in Latin America. But, unfortunately, it's only included in the packet that I give out to the people that come to my Expat Insider Seminar. Maybe someday I'll have a membership site and I'll have it available for members at newexpat.com, but as for now, not available. Oh, and it's very inclusive and tells everything you really wanted to know about owning and buying and using guns, knives, and ammo here in Latin America. What a tease, huh? Where were we? Oh, yeah. talking about how to get your money and your assets here to Latin America. Well, normally, you see, you've been down here a time or two. You've hooked up with a lawyer. You got yourself a bank account. If you got one in your name, whatever money you want to send down, just wire transfer it directly down to your Latin bank. Of course, with the FATCA, GATCA, Know Your Customer laws, IRS will be immediately notified that you have a bank account as soon as you open, because that's just the way the laws are all over the world now. So whatever movement you have in that bank, you know, deposits and withdrawals will be reported to the IRS every year, so they'll know exactly what you got. Worse yet, if you have a bank account in a Latin country, which you should have, and the bank has a branch in the U.S., if you ever get in trouble up there, let's say you didn't pay your alimony, your school loans, whatever, someone comes after you, goes to court, gets a judgment against you, they can attach your bank account if there's a branch bank up in the States, which is always why we mention that you have some great alternatives. Many Latin banks have zero presence up in the States, so even if all your bank accounts are locked up in the States, in your hometown, wherever, they cannot put a judgment against you or lock up your Latin bank account if it's got no presence up in the States. Oh, they can try, but first they'll have to jump through a lot of special hoops. So you can have a mother load down here in a bank with your own personal name on it. And in order for anyone up in the States to attach that account, that is, lock it up, whatever, they'll need a judgment in a U.S. court. Then they'll have to send lawyers down to your Latin country. They'll have to get Latin lawyers to translate all the documents. They'll have to go to court in Latin America. And man, I'm telling you, you're looking at a year anyway just to get a hearing in court. And Latin lawyers assure me by then your dough will be long gone. That is, it will have flown that coop with the help of your Latin lawyer. However, you know, I've been down here a long, long time, and I know of no instances personally where that's ever happened. Oh, I've heard many instances where bank accounts have been locked up in the States, but they never seem to be able to attach a judgment to one down here. You'd have to be an extremely big fish, and I don't know any. Well, I do know a few big fish, but they've never had their accounts attached either. That's because they're cautious about bank accounts and know that the U.S. government can try all kinds of stuff to attach their accounts around the world. So they open up accounts with SA corporations, that is, corporate accounts that are absolutely bulletproof against foreign judgments. I mean, hell, if you're in business up in the States, you can expect to get sued once in a while. It's a lawsuit crazy society you got up there. Even solo physicians and dentists get sued probably once a year. Man, am I glad I live down here. Did I say that already? So if you're a really big, high-profile fish or have a lot of money, it's worth it to open up an SA corporation and have that corporation open up a bank account. Now, you can own it and everything, but since it's in the corporate name, no one, I'm talking nobody, can attach it, even if it's all your dough sitting there. However, that doesn't mean if you've got judgments going up in the States and they try to attach it, that if you make a trip back to the States, they won't grab you and throw you in the slammer, or at least put you in front of a judge. Because you see, what's legal down here in Latin America is not necessarily legal up in the States. For example, down here in Latin America, insider trading is legal. Prostitution is legal. Tax evasion, no, not legal. No one ever goes to jail for it. And believe me, everyone's a tax evader down here. Everyone. Also, it's legal to give expensive gifts to politicians. In fact, I know of a particular case where a transnational drug company, you know its name, actually bought a million-dollar mansion for a sitting president. You know, just gave it to him as a gift. Out of the goodness of their venomous little hearts, of course. They don't want anything. No favors will ever be asked, right? Totally legal here in Latin America. In the States, you're supposed to go to prison for that, unless you're a friend of the Clintons. Oh, and another thing, most tax crimes up in the States are not crimes here in Latin America. Why? Because in almost all Latin American countries, except now coming up Colombia and Argentina, and I believe starting next year in Brazil, you do not have to report or are you taxed on income from an outside country. However, U.S. citizens have to report worldwide income or you're getting heavily fined or even going to jail. That's why Latin countries don't round up people who've been guilty of tax evasion or tax crimes up in the States, because those so-called offenses are not crimes here in Latin America. And they'll only round up and prosecute, and sometimes they won't even do that, if the crime you committed up in the States and are charged with is illegal and punishable with the same sentence as it is in the Latin country you're pursued in. So the technicality, even if you've been convicted of a felony in the States and it's only a misdemeanor here in Latin America, your local Latin government won't pursue you. Did I mention you have to be a big fish? And did I mention that they're really only going to pursue you if you've committed some despicable crime like child porn or human trafficking or murder? However, I understand there's a get-out-of-jail-free card if you've donated to the Clinton Foundation. But I digress. Oh, and here's another point. I've met some gringos who've gotten completely lost in Latin America. I mean, they disappear. You know, some Latin countries are huge. And remember, Latin governments and police forces and such have no resources and no dough. You might recall the story I mentioned not so long ago where a guy had his house robbed, thinks it was collusion between his cleaning lady and gardener. He called the cops. Surprisingly enough, they showed up within a couple hours, filled out the report, were sympathetic and all that, and said they'd go round up the usual suspects, but he'd have to chip in money for gas. Kind of says it all, doesn't it? So then how do local authorities nab despicable gringos and expats who are hiding out in their country? Sometimes they never do. You know, it's infrequent, but every once in a while you read in the paper or see in the media that a gringo's been picked up for something. In fact, just the other day, they picked up such a guy in Ecuador, a guy who had committed grand larceny and extortion, ripped off and gouged millions from investors up in the States. Well, how'd they catch him? Through the borders, of course. As you fly in or go through the land borders, if there's an Interpol warrant out on the guy, that's where they'll stop you and won't let you pass through. They'll call local authorities and, well, if you're a corrupt slime bag on a grand scale like this guy was, they figure it's worth it to pursue a guy like that. I mean, hell, if he ripped them off for, I think it was 168 million bucks, he's a deep pocket. And both corrupt slime bag governments, the U.S. and Ecuador, want a piece of that. So they'll have a fine time in international court slicing this guy's assets up. And it's true over the years, especially in my travels through the boonies and in small Latin towns, of course, way off the gringo tourist trail, I've run into a few gringos who've gone native, and I got the feeling they're running from some judgment up in the States, and some of them have been running so long they forgot what they're running from. These are people whose passports expired or were blocked years ago, but they don't care. They've got their family, homestead, kids here in Latin America and whatever country, and they're staying put. In fact, I've met at least three or four Gulf War vets, AWOL, from the 1990s. So definitely they're never going back to the States, because if they do, they're going to be in a slammer probably forever. The U.S. military does not have a sense of humor about AWOL vets. But I digress. Man, did I digress. So anyway, if you've got cash in a U.S. bank, transfer it down to a bank account in your name or in an S.A. corporation name. Or if you're in a hurry or want to break the ties and remain somewhat anonymous, there's that somewhat anonymous term again. Anyway, then you'll send it through to your lawyer's trust, transit, or pass-through account. Because maybe if you're in a hurry, you haven't set up a bank account or you're waiting for your residency to come through and then get your account. And some gringos and expats aren't sure what their permanent address or even country is going to be when they finally get down. So they'll transfer some money down to their lawyer's account to have some cash. They'll park it with him for a while, a week, a month, half a year. Who knows? In a lot of cases, expats come down looking for property, houses, whatever. And that could be the money they use to buy the land, the house, or build. I know, this is Latin America, and you're thinking, what if a guy transferred $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 to Latin America into a Latin American bank account, not in their name, in a lawyer's name, who they've only met once or twice, or maybe never met at all? Yep, it's pretty scary, huh? Yeah, well, you know, I'm not plugging my seminar here, but people who do come to my Expat Insider Seminar do get to meet an honest lawyer or two who I've known and vetted. That's one of the huge advantages of coming to the seminar. In fact, I've had many people say, Johnny, that's the number one advantage to come to your seminar. Connecting with the law group that's got your seal of approval. Yeah, because, you know, if I was still up in Chicago and I'd never been down to Latin America, but I had a plan B, if I was to send a substantial wire transfer all the way down to Latin America to a bank account that wasn't in my name, I'd sure as hell be probably more than slightly worried as my money went to that account. Did it get there? And once it got there, is it going to stay there? When I go down, am I going to be able to get it out? Can I access that account online anywhere? Will it have a debit card? On top of that, all the paperwork you signed was in Spanish. Promises, promises, huh? Man, if you read the blogs, you'll hear all kinds of horror stories. Most of them bad. Most of them out of gringo-saturated countries like Costa Rica, Panama, parts of Colombia, etc. In fact, I'd say every gringo expat I know who's been down here more than 5 years has been ripped off in some way or another, sometimes by fast-talking Latins, scumbag gringos, and lawyers. Sometimes all three are in on a scam. Because, you know, there's kind of this craziest thing that happens when you land in a third world lush tropical paradise. Like expat Eddie says, it's the palm tree hammock and umbrella drink effect. It goes to your head. You see all the Latins with smiles on their faces, the gringos with smiles too. Why not? They're on vacation. And suddenly, and it happens more often than not, you let your guard down when it comes to investing and doling out money for this and that. It's a fact, when gringos are on vacation, they always spend more than they'd planned. Which is why I always tell gringos and expats, you're probably, in the first couple of years anyway, going to get gouged. And it's not going to be a tiny gouge like the one you get from the guy selling you trinkets. It'll be big enough that it hurts. Some land deal, some business thing, some happy but shady gringo with the beachfront deal of a century, a local with a seemingly great idea with no skin in the game because he's broke, a property for sale that's been sold before maybe two or three times. Hey, I've been through all that, and why I'm very cautious now and why I only recommend people I know who are totally honest. That's to say, over the years, I've excommunicated quite a few people from my inner and outer circle. You know, narrowed and pared it down. You gotta do that, you know. Funny, though, I run into people all the time, been down here 3, 4, 5, 6 months, even a year, and they're all of a sudden know-it-alls. And man, I'd say more than half of them have the word sucker printed on their forehead, and they don't even know it. So when I meet them socially, or I'm sitting next to one at a car lot or whatever, I let them ramble on, experts that they are, thinking it's only a matter of time, the clock's ticking on his gouge. And when it happens, he'll be a little more humble. He's not going to be such a know-it-all anymore. It'll be a good lesson. Like expat Eddie says, sometimes you need a $5,000 or $10,000 lesson to get the clueless gringo gene out of your system. So what am I saying? I'm saying when you come down here, no matter how vigilant you are, you'll be scammed or gouged. I know a lot of you listeners are saying, man, it's not going to happen to me. I'm smarter than that. Well, in the eloquent words of Daffy Duck, phooey. But anyway, we're talking about transferring your wealth and your dough down here to Latin America. Well, you know, there's always crypto and Bitcoin, Bitcoin being the gold standard. And that, my friends, is a very anonymous way to ship your money down. And you're thinking, well, once I get down, how do I connect up with the Bitcoin crowd? Hey, we are the Bitcoin crowd. In fact, there is a very active Bitcoin and crypto community in every Latin country now. Yeah. There are Bitcoin meetup groups, Bitcoin ATMs in certain cities, Bitcoin kiosks where you can buy and sell Bitcoin with cash or credit card. So, for example, say you're up in Cleveland, you got 10 Bitcoins, that's your mother load. Hey, as I record this today, that's worth over 100 grand, right? Well, you know, unlike having money in the bank, you don't have to do anything to get it down to the Latin country of your choice. Because wherever you are on earth, you jump on your smartphone or computer and guess what? They're right there. No bank or government middleman. It's the beauty of crypto and Bitcoin. So if you're in the cryptocurrency game, whether it's in a very small way or a very large way, man, Latin America is tuned in. Tell you one thing, dealing with cryptos down here is a lot more freer than it is up in the States. You know, they're slapping rules and regulations on those exchanges all the time, like Coinbase and BitPay, etc. Those are U.S.-based cryptocurrency exchanges, you know? Naturally, the U.S. government wants their piece of the action there, so they're coming down hard and heavy. But for exchanges outside the U.S., well, things are mighty easy. Again, it's the penalty for being a U.S. citizen, huh? By the way, I recommend everyone get familiar with cryptocurrency. Get familiar with it because you're probably going to be using it in the near future. That is the wave. Fiat money of all kinds is going the way of the dinosaur. You can see that, can't you? That's not to say I don't like gold, silver, and the precious metals. Oh, I like them a lot. But let me give you a little analogy. I'm 165 pounds. That's what I weighed when I graduated from high school. Now, let's say I had all my assets tied up in gold. My weight in gold, 165 pounds. Today's price, slightly under 5 million bucks. Hey, just an analogy here. No way I'm worth a fraction of that, dead or alive. Now, suppose I wanted to take that asset to Honduras, because that's where I'm going to set up my plan B. Man, I'll tell you, you'd have to jump through 165 hoops to get it down there. Probably could, but it easily could cost you, who knows, a couple hundred thousand bucks for shipping charges, insurance, taxes, aduana fees, legal fees. Not to mention probably a few bribes along the way. I mean, this is Latin America, right? However, if you had the same amount, a little under 5 million bucks in Bitcoin or any other crypto, You could fly from Cleveland to Honduras or Managua, Nicaragua. And guess what? That $5 million is there. All you need is a computer, anybody's computer, or a smartphone. It's right there whenever you need it, whenever you have to use it or move it around. That's the beauty of cryptocurrency versus gold. Though it's my opinion you have to have a mix of both. So you've got some cutting-edge assets and some old-school assets to back you up. All right then, so what if you want to bring some gold or silver down? Well, you can ship it down. People have done that. I know some people who have. But again, like I said, you got to pay shipping, insurance, get a lawyer involved, pay aduana fees, probably a few bribes. Yeah, you can do it. I've seen it done successfully. Some gold and silver bullion houses will ship all over the world for a fee, of course. Then it'll end up in your Plan B destination country's aduana, and you'll pay taxes and import duties. The costs, sometimes depending on what mood the customs officer is in that day. Yep, with gold, fiat, wire transfers, there's always a government jerk or bank intermediaries there to gouge you. And sometimes, you know, you'll kick in a bribe. Your lawyer won't call it a bribe. He'll say, you know, I think for another $300 or $400, we could move this process along nicely. Hey, I've been there. So when that happens to you, if you're the righteous type, bite your lip. Get used to it, because if you make a fuss and claim it's not right, it's illegal. Well then, if you don't pay up, it's going to take twice as long. And you know, here in Latin America, they never call it a bribe while it's happening. It's only after the fact, when you're talking about it with people, that you call it mordida, or the bite, the bribe. While it's happening, when you've been approached for some dough to move things along, it's always, like I said, to move things along, speed things up, grease the wheels of progress. Yeah, right, some progress, huh? All right, we've been talking about bringing your gold and precious metals down, which brings me to this little article someone just sent me this week. Pay attention, this could affect you. It's called Crossing Borders with Gold and Silver Coins, A Glimpse of Things to Come. This article starts out, it's well known that you have to make a declaration if you physically transport $10,000 or more in cash or monetary instruments in or out of the U.S. or almost any other country. That said, gold has always been in something of a twilight zone in that regard. It's no longer officially considered money. So it's usually regarded as just a commodity like copper, lead, or zinc for these purposes. The 1 ounce Canadian maple leaf and U.S. Eagle, for example, both say they're worth $50 stamped right on them. But I've recently had some disturbing experience crossing borders with silver coins. They weren't even gold. What happened to me in 3 of my last 4 border crossings is a definite sad sign of the future. I've gradually accumulated about a dozen 1 ounce silver rounds in my briefcase. I'm talking silver now. For me, they were 1 ounce souvenirs. Some from Canada, different countries, Australia, China, and the US. Recently, when I left Chile, the person monitoring the X-ray machine at the airport stopped me and insisted I take out my coins and show them to her. Now, I travel a great deal and this never happened to me before. I wrote it off to chance this first time. Then, when I was leaving Argentina a few weeks later, the exact same thing happened. What was really unusual was that the inspector looked at them, took them back to his supervisor, then came back and asked if I had any gold coins to report. I didn't that time. He smiled and let me go on my way. But what really got my attention was a few weeks later, when I was leaving Mauritania, one of the world's most backward countries. Here, I was questioned again about my silver coins. A supervisor was called over once again and asked me whether I had any gold coins. Clearly, something was up. Now, I talk to people about gold and other things, and I haven't seen any official statements about the movement of gold coins through borders lately, but it seems probable that governments are spreading the word to their inspector minions. After all, $10,000 of $100 bills is a stack about 1 inch wide. Hard to hide. But even at currently depressed prices, 10 grand is only 8 gold Canadian 1 ounce maple leaves. A much smaller volume than 10 grand in US $100 bills and immune to currency sniffing dogs. And you know, gold and precious metal coins, unlike fiat funny money, if they're set aside for years, they won't be damaged at all. Not by water, fire, insects, or, best of all, inflation. In fact, if you're thinking like I do, they're only going to increase in value. Then the author says, I have foreign bank accounts and brokerage accounts in foreign countries too. But the safety and freedom once offered by these methods is already disappearing. Few people seem to be aware of the fact that not so long ago, there was no limit to the amount of cash you could transfer in and out of the U.S., even hand carry across the border. Or that you didn't have to report the existence of an offshore bank or brokerage account at all. Though you were on your honor to report the interest and gains on them as income. Worse yet, other restrictive laws have been passed in the U.S. and other countries too. Banks are starting to notify customers, and they did me, that they're no longer responsible for the storage of cash, gold, or other precious metal instruments in their own safety deposit boxes. So with some banks, you can do it at your own risk, and others prohibit you from doing it at all. That means they're confiscatable. That makes the phrase safety deposit box an oxymoron, doesn't it? Then he says it gets worse. I was in New Zealand a couple months ago. I was taken aback to see that the suburban branch of a major bank was closing down all of its safety deposit box departments. So what's next? I expect as the subtle war on both cash and the transfer of capital across borders gains momentum, gold coins are going to become the next focus of attention. So I suggest you act now to beat the last minute rush. Number one, have a significant number of those gold coins stored outside the country of your citizenship. Concentrate your future purchases in small coins that are indistinguishable from loose change, so you can carry them through borders with your fake U.S. nickels, quarters, and dimes. All right, meet Johnny again. By the way, good old John Galt used to carry gold coins in with his change as he passed through airport departure points. Just threw them in the basket, and they always got right through, because they mix well. By the way, you hear and read over and over again that gold is useless, gold is not money anymore, gold's an archaic relic from the past. You hear governments, banks, and media pundits say that all the time. Well then, riddle me this. Why do most all countries, with a few obvious exceptions, mint at least a few useless common coins with a gold brilliant sheen on them? When in Europe, Asia, or Latin America, check your pocket change. You'll see. Why is it necessary for them to fake it? After all, they're doing everything they can to discredit gold, yet they continually copy the look. Kind of like buying a soy burger with artificial cheese, huh? Think about it.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.